All right, let's get this thing kicked off. If you are a guest with us this morning, I want to say welcome. And when you came in, if you received a welcome packet, inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or you could leave it on the information table as you leave after the service this morning. That just tells us a fact that you've been here, and we just want to let you know that we appreciate that. Hopefully when you came in too, you received a bulletin, and everybody else should have received one as well. Do y'all got your bulletin? Take it out. I've got some exciting things to talk about this morning. Some really, really exciting things. As you can see this morning, we're going to celebrate communion together, and that also means we're going to be, at the time of our offering, collecting some money for our benevolence fund. And so if you'd like to give to the Benevolence Fund, and remember, just as a reminder, that the money that's collected for our Benevolence Fund goes to help people in our church family that may incur some kind of a financial situation and need some financial help. So if you'd like to do that, that's over and above your regular giving. And there are envelopes over by the box over here at at the door of the sanctuary. If not, just put Benevolence Fund on your check, and we'll make sure that it gets recorded in the proper place. All right, so Saturday, men's breakfast at Larry Patrick's house, 8 a.m. So men, you need to have this on your calendar, because I've been assured we're going to have bacon. At first, I was told there would be no bacon, and then the person who told me that, who lives at Larry Patrick's house, I'm not going to mention any names, right, Nancy? But she told me there wouldn't be any bacon, and I said, we got to have bacon, otherwise nobody's going to show up. And so she said, okay, we'll have bacon. So we're going to have at least bacon. So that'll be great. And then next Sunday, we are going to be in for a treat. The Richies, Jennifer, Carissa, and Kayla are going to be sharing with us their trip to Uganda and all of the neat things that God did while they were there. And so you're going to want to be here for that. I hope you have that on your calendar. 2 weeks from today, after the morning service, we are going to assemble at the Schofield house, and we're going to have a picnic lunch, and then we're going to have a baptismal service after that. I'm excited about that. Are you? Because in the life of a church, it's exciting when we can be able to see people follow the Lord in the opportunity of baptism. And so you're going to want to be here for that. Just a couple other things. Tomorrow, if you are planning on coming to church to do anything at all, those of you that might have access to the church will not be accessible. Our parking lot's going to be closed. They're going to be working on resealing the parking lot and then restriping the parking lot. And so we're not going to have access to the parking lot nor to the building. So just keep that in mind, that all day tomorrow that's going to be happening. And by the way, speaking of parking lot, did you see that our parking lot, the south parking lot out here, is a little bit more wider, a little bit more longer? We extended our parking lot. And so there are places for you to be able to park. They don't have lines on them, but they're there for you to be able to use, to be able to park. And so if you didn't see that after the service, not during the service, but after the service, go and check it out, okay? Because it's really neat. So that's going to give us some additional parking as well. There's details in the bulletin about these things that are coming up that you're going to need to know about. That's why it's important for you to be able to have one. Well, why are you here? Are you here to praise? Are you here to worship? Are you here to hear from him? I hope so. All right, let's do it. Let's go, worship team.
Would you stand with me this morning?
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress, you are my portion, you are my hiding place. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take. I believe that you are provider, you are protector, you are the one I love. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are. Lord, we declare today, we believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. We're here for no other reason but you. Lord, we love you and we praise you today because you're worthy. Worthy of all we got. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. And there in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Until he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Lord, we can trust you. We can put our hope and our faith in you because you are steadfast and true and trustworthy and faithful. Lord, thank you. Thank you for Christ. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated as we continue this morning. Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to him belong, who holds our days within his hand. What comes apart from his great plans? And what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah. Our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah. Now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. What truth can calm the troubled soul? God is good, God is good. Where is his grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy trial, who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. Oh, sing hallelujah. Our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah. Now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. Unto the grave, what will we sing? Christ he lives, Christ he lives. And what gift will heaven bring? Everlasting life with him. There we will rise to meet the Lord. Then sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore. Oh, sing hallelujah. Our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah. Now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. Now and ever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. Lord, we are so thankful for you. Lord, you are truly our hope in life, but also in death. Lord, we can't wait to see you face to face. And until that day, Lord, we will follow you. Amen. As our ushers prepare to take this morning's offering, I want to remind everybody that we give as an act of worship. Don't give because you think the church needs money, because it doesn't. God doesn't need your wallet. He needs your heart. All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone. Higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you, yeah. Light into the world, light into my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I seek, knowing I will find all I need in you alone, in you alone. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy. And I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you.
I will follow you. Four words that make quite a commitment. I hope that you just didn't sing them because our worship team was leading us to sing them. I hope that you were singing them because that's the desire of your heart, to follow him. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 6. And July is the month that is set aside for us to remember the freedom given to us here in the United States, provided by our founding fathers. So before this month, with its focus on freedom, ends, and to help prepare us for the celebration of communion, I want us to be reminded of the freedom we have in Jesus. Because just like American citizens, we can live in the freedoms that are afforded to us. And as believers in Jesus as Savior, we can live in the freedoms that are provided for us because of what he has done for us on the cross. The sad thing, though, is most believers don't live in that freedom. Most believers don't enjoy that freedom. Most believers don't appreciate that freedom. Most believers don't even realize that that freedom is theirs, because most believers choose to live bound by sin instead of appreciating the freedom that we have in Jesus. Warren Wiersbe once said, too many Christians are betweeners, living between Egypt and Canaan, saved but never satisfied. Or they live between Good Friday and Easter, believing in the cross but not entering into the power and the glory that comes because of Jesus' resurrection. As our culture moves farther and farther away from the truths of God's word, so do the people in the church. That is why believers still live in bondage to sin. Now, I don't know if you're aware, but the habits and customs of the Eskimos of North Alaska have remained very much the same for over 500 years. And they've developed a genius way of catching the polar bear, which provides them with meat, clothing, fat for cooking, and tools from the bear's teeth and bones. However, they understand you just don't go out and kill a polar bear. So they have a system, and here's what they do. They first kill a small seal and drag the carcass across the snow, leaving a trail of blood. They then take a double-edged knife and freeze the long handle about 2 feet deep into the snow, leaving the double-edged blade protruding. They then place the carcass over the blade and wait patiently for the polar bear. The polar bear smells the blood in the snow and follows the tracks to an easy meal. The Eskimos know that if they use a small seal rather than a large seal, the bear will still be incredibly hungry even after eating the seal. He devours the little seal, cutting his tongue on the knife. The bear licks the knife some more, and then licks and licks and licks some more. And the more he licks, the more his tongue bleeds. And the more blood he tastes, the more he licks. Sadly, it's the taste of his own blood that kills him. Church family, the more we lick the sharpness of sin, the more we bleed. And the more we bleed sin, the more sin we want. It's as if we're trapped. And we are. If we do not break away from the bondage of sin, we may not like the ramifications. Now, in the first three chapters of the book of Romans, we learned that we all are sinners. Is there anyone here today who has never sinned? Good answer. Nobody raised their hand. Good job. Because we're all sinners. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, what does it say? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Does all mean all, class? Yes, it does. Does that mean you? Yes. Does that mean me? Yes. But wait a minute. I'm Pastor Sam. Are you telling me I'm just a sinner as much as you are? Yeah, you didn't tell me that. God told me that. God told me that in his word. And then in Romans chapter 4 and through 5, we are introduced to the truth of justification. Now, simply put, that means that everyone who believes in Jesus as Savior has been declared righteous. That's a good thing, isn't it? Sin, not so good. Justification, that's good. Being declared righteous, that's good. And this is reinforced for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, where it says, "For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God." You see, justification, becoming the righteousness of God, doesn't come because of anything that you've done, anything that you are. Doesn't come from your family heritage. Doesn't come from your intelligence. Doesn't come from your wealth or lack thereof. It comes because you came to believe at a time in your life in Jesus as Savior. And the moment that you believed in him as Savior, justification came to you. You were declared righteous. And here in Romans chapter 6, we're going to see that we are more than just sinners. We are saints who have freedom in Jesus for the process of sanctification. While justification takes care of the penalty of sin, sanctification addresses the power of sin. Justification happens the moment you believe in Jesus as Savior and is never repeated. You don't have to have justification over and over and over again. Sanctification, on the other hand, happens moment by moment as you follow God's instructions found in his word. Justification is an event. Sanctification is a process. Sanctification is gradual and continuous. Justification is the work of the moment you believe in Jesus as Savior. Sanctification is the work of a lifetime for the believer here on earth. Justification is given to you by the grace of God. Sanctification helps you become more and more conformed to the character of Jesus, as Romans chapter 8 tells us. So hopefully by now you found Romans chapter 6 in your Bible. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 7. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be slaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. For one who has died, when we die with Christ, when the moment that we believe in him as Savior, we are set free from sin. Isn't that good? So you know what that tells us? As believers, we have the freedom to not sin. Whew, man. I thought you all got raptured for a moment. And I was left here. It's like, no, that can't happen. Okay? But most believers live their lives as though they're still stuck in sin. Instead of living victoriously, many are overcome by continuing in sin. Now, as believers, we will sin. But sinning should be out of character for the believer. And we need to grasp this amazing truth, because in a real sense, when we believe in Jesus as Savior, at that precise moment, we shared in his death and thus mastery over sin. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." We've died spiritually with Jesus. We've died so that we could be what? Free from sin. So that we could be justified. So that we could be declared righteous. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, in order for us to appreciate our freedom in Jesus, there are certain things that must be evident. I want to spend the next few moments looking at these three things. First, we need to know that we are identified with Jesus. Isn't that what Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 said? Let's go back to those verses. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." You know, as we've been studying the book of Acts in the history of the early church, it was unthinkable for a believer not to be baptized. In the book of Acts, baptism follows so closely after belief that they were often considered part of one event. When you believe, you are immediately spiritually baptized into Jesus. And when you participate in water baptism, you are identifying with Jesus. Because believer's baptism is a picture of your personal identification with the greatest action of human history, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's why it's so exciting that 2 weeks from today, we're going to be, after church, we're going to be meeting at the Schofields' house. And after a time of enjoying kind of a picnic lunch and some fellowship, we're going to have a baptismal service. We're going to see people who are going to say, "I want to identify with Jesus. I want those that are here to see this picture testimony of the fact that I believe in Jesus as Savior." As a pastor, I'm excited about that. I hope you're so excited about that. You've got that on your calendar and you can't wait for a couple weeks from now for that to be able to take place, to be able to see that, to be there. Now, let me set the record straight. Baptism doesn't save you for eternal life. Every one of those people that are going to be going into that water and going to be showing their identification with Jesus, all of them, it has been made clear to them that this does not bring salvation for eternal life. Their belief in Jesus as Savior is what gives them that assurance of eternal life, that gift of eternal life. And it's the same for you and it's the same for me. And by the way, if you haven't ever gone through baptism as a believer, it's still time. There's still time, okay? And so you be thinking about it. You be praying about it. If you've been thinking about it and praying about it and you want to get in on this in a couple weeks, you come and let me know or let one of our elders know, and we'll make sure that we get you prepared for that. Baptism doesn't save us for eternal life. Only belief in Jesus as Savior does. Here's the second thing. We need to know that we are united with Jesus. And we must learn this truth. And then we must live this truth. Did you see verse 5? Let's go back and look at it. "For if we have been united," oh, there's that word, united. "If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like us." And this phrase, united with him, means to grow along when planted together. Don't you like that? We are growing along with Jesus because when we believe in him as Savior, we are planted together in him and with him. Isn't that good? I love that. I just think that is great. It's the idea of being fused into one. We have been united in both his death and his resurrection, meaning that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. The old is gone. The body of sin is dead, and we no longer need to be slaves to our passions. Do you remember what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17? It says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, all things have become new. How do we get to be in Christ Jesus? You all know. You've heard it over and over again. By believing in Jesus as Savior, we are placed into Christ. Romans chapter 6 told us that. These verses 1 through 7 told us that. We have been freed from sin because what happened to Christ is counted by God as happening to us. A preacher of old once said, our union with Christ is a living union so we may bear fruit, a loving union so that we may enjoy him, and a lasting union so that we not need to be afraid of the future. I like that. Here's the third thing. We need to know we must display our freedom in Jesus. We must know certain things. We must grow. And finally, it must show. Remember what it said in verses 6 through 7? Look at those verses again. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free. From what? From what? This is not Pastor Sam's ideas this morning. This is not my opinion. God's word clearly tells us that one who has died, if we have died with Christ, we have been set free. From what? So do we need to be slaves to sin any longer? No. Praise the Lord, we no longer need to be slaves to sin because we have been united with Jesus. Jesus went to that cross to be able to free us from the power of sin. He freed us from the penalty of sin, and someday, because of what he did on the cross for us and we believe in him as Savior, we are going to be free from the very presence of sin forever and ever and ever. Do you get that? And why can't we practice that here on earth? Why do we have to keep being slaves to sin? Why do we have to keep doing it over and over? Why do we have to keep being bound in the prison of sin? Because we've been united with Jesus. We don't need to. We are free from sin. I love those three words, don't you? Free from sin. And it's not because of what you've done. It's because of what Jesus did for us, because of his love, because of his grace, because of his mercy. He chose to do that. At a fundraising banquet for a school for children with special needs, one of the fathers got up and told a story about his son named Shay. He described how he and his son had been walking through the neighborhood a week before, and they stopped to watch a group of boys playing baseball. Shay does not communicate well, but he let his father know in his own way that he so wanted to play baseball with these boys. The father thinks there's no chance of this happening, but he goes up to the pitcher and he explains the situation. The pitcher makes an executive decision and says, you know, it's the eighth inning. We're down by six. What have we got to lose? Come on in. We'll let you bat in the bottom of the ninth. Shay is ecstatic. But when the ninth inning came around, things had changed. Now they're down by only three runs, and the bases are loaded. If they get a home run, they'll win the game. And now it's Shay's turn to bat. The father's heart begins to beat rapidly as he wonders if they'll keep their promise to Shay and let him bat. The team realizes their predicament, so they have a little huddle. Then, to the father's amazement, they say to Shay, come on, you're up to bat. And Shay is absolutely delighted. He clutches the bat at a strange angle and holds it tightly. Then the pitcher from the opposite team does an amazing thing. He takes several steps forward and lobs an easy one right over the plate. Shay swings wildly and misses widely. Then a player from Shay's team comes up behind him and gently wraps his arms around him. Together, they hold the bat. The pitcher lobs another one, and they bunt it, and the ball just rolls to the feet of the pitcher. It's an easy out, But everybody's screaming, run to first, run to first, Shay. And the pitcher picks up the ball and throws it far and wide. Shay makes it to first. And they say, run to second, Shay, run to second. The guy out in the field is planning to whip it into second, but then realizes what is going on, and he throws it far and wide. Everyone starts yelling, run to third, run to third. All the other players have crossed home plate, and they start yelling, run home, Shay, take it home. And just as he hits home plate, the ball zings in. A loud uproar from both teams erupts. They put Shay on their shoulders and parade him around the field as a hero. Due to our sin, we've all struck out spiritually. But Jesus has wrapped his arms around us so that what he has experienced, we have also. Jesus hit it out of the park to bring us safely home. And instead of licking sin, allow Jesus to help you appreciate the freedom in your life so that you can move from defeat to deliverance, because that's what Jesus did for you. That's what Jesus did for me. That's what Jesus did to all who believe. He delivered us so that we could be, and when we believe in him as Savior, free from sin. This morning, as you hold the bread in your hands, remember that Jesus went to the cross for you so that you don't have to be a slave to sin. As you hold that cup in your hand, remember Jesus went to the cross for you. His blood was shed so that you no longer have to be a slave to sin. He did that for you because you yourself couldn't do it on your own. That's why the celebration of communion is such a precious thing. So this morning, let me just remind you that in order to participate in this celebration of communion, you don't have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church. You just have to be one who believes in Jesus as Savior. And the Bible tells us that as part of this celebration of communion, yes, it's important for us to come as believers, but when we come as believers, it's important for us to examine. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, he says, before communion, let everyone examine themselves. What are we supposed to examine ourselves for? The fact to see if sin has crept into our hearts, crept into our lives. Sin that we know shouldn't be there. Sin that we know that Jesus paid for on that cross. And because we have been declared righteous, we no longer need to be slaved to that sin. And what an opportunity the celebration of communion is for us to be able to deal with whatever sin we've let come into our life. The Bible says that if we agree with God that sin has come into our life, he will forgive us. He will cleanse us from that unrighteousness. Isn't that good? I love that. So take the opportunity, this celebration of communion, to first check and make sure that you're a believer. If you're not a believer in Jesus as Savior, you can take care of that in the quietness of your heart and in the quietness of your mind right now. If you, in the quietness of your heart and in the quietness of your mind as a believer, if you examine your heart and you examine your life and you know that there's sin that God says shouldn't be there, you can take care of that right now. And then when all of those two things are in place, celebrate all that communion is, the reminder of what Jesus did for us, because we couldn't do it for ourselves. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table this morning.
It's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross.
Let's remember Jesus.
It's not just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about His precious blood that saved me from my sin. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. Oh, the beginning of the story is wonderful and great, but it's the ending that can save you, and that's why we celebrate. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's Son nailed to a tree. It's about how every drop of blood that flowed from Him when it should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. So that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about the cross. It's about the cross.
Let's remember Jesus.
For our last song today, would you all stand with me?
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin. and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Yes, give him the glory, great things he has done.